The Gospel according to Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them to be found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Oliver writes, "It is a serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world. Just to be alive. Just to be alive is a gift. In fact, it's all a gift. All of it. The crazy stuff, the life-giving stuff, the hard stuff. But it can be hard sometimes to recognize the gift. We live in a world of lack. We live in a world where there is great need. And we notice this around us, and it impacts us. And it allows us to think and to act. I was inspired to learn that there was a group of 7th grade confirmation students on Wednesday night who were recognizing the need for more help in the food pantries at some of the middle schools, especially Horace Mann. And so they thought to themselves, "We have agency, we can do something, let's help our peers." And I got wind that there might be a bake sale on the horizon, so you might want to watch out for that. They're inspired and encouraged to meet that lack head on. Maybe they recognize the gifts that they have been given. Well, for some, the lack is real and quite detrimental to the health and quality of life. For others, the lack we feel is less substantial, but it's still with us, isn't it? So we see commercials and we think about what we're missing in life. Maybe it's a certain upgrade of a cell phone, or the car we're driving is okay, but we're sick of it and we're not so sure that we want to drive this one around for too much longer, or we're on the hunt for the perfect winter coat, or whatever it would be. Even though we recognize that what we have is sufficient, we still experience the lack. We do this as a species, though. So if that's you, you're not alone. We're on this journey to seek contentment and healing. And we're looking for something to fill that void. We're looking for something that will help bring a kind of peace or wholeness or vitality. And we do it in creative ways sometimes. But it's all a gift. And today specifically, we have the gift of time. So what a good day to write a letter or to make a difference, even if it's just in a small way in someone else's life. It's a great day to just be kind, to smile at someone. We also have the gift of that same agency that our 7th graders recognize. We are not helpless. We can do things to address the lack in our own lives and in the lives of this community. We have the ability to care. We can help. We can even be brave and care for ourselves. It's possible to make a choice to heal an old wound or to seek the help that we need and grow as people. No matter our age and stage of life, it is not too late. So I wonder, what would it look like if this afternoon or later this week, you were able to find some time to sit at your kitchen table or in your favorite chair and to make a list? just a simple list of all of the gifts, the resources that you have, all of the values that are important to you, all of the relationships that you prioritize, all of the qualities of your character, to recognize, when you think about it, how vast and beautiful the gift really is. How much God has filled your life full to the brim with gift. What would it look like to keep that list somewhere you see it all the time? I don't know, for me it would be the refrigerator or the bathroom mirror, I suppose. To keep it there and to continue to add to it as a constant reminder that every need that you've ever had may not have been met right away, but it has been met. That there has been daily bread and forgiveness, and that there has been healing in your life. So when we do the work of this as a community, that process of analyzing what is already present as a gift and a resource for us is called asset mapping. In a way, we look toward the budgeting process and the ministry planning for 2020. And we've already begun the process of asset mapping through the resource called time and talent that Mark was talking about. We do this through the pledge process, which helps us recognize the generosity that's already here. Because God has given us all we need to be doing the work and ministry of this congregation and in this community to make a difference as a group and to really spread and share the gift that God has given to us. All these tools really do is allow you to maybe think about what you might uniquely be willing to offer up to the church. So because of the gifts and the generosity that you share, we're able to do big things in this community. And I wish you could see it. I wish you could see how this church on a weekly basis is literally giving blankets to people who are cold. How this church is showing up to allow for people who don't have a ride to the doctor to get a ride to the doctor. How this church does the work of feeding, not just physically, but also spiritually, visiting people who are lonely. Couples who come here to be married are getting the care to start their marriage off on the right foot. People who are grieving losses are being heard and accompanied. People who long to grow in their own sense of faith and recognize that they are not alone are given opportunities to explore the scriptures in community. People without a sense of hope can find it here. We are not perfect as a church, but what we do have are gifts to share to make the world a better place. And it is not all my doing. It's your doing. As the body of Christ in this place, the agency you have as you leave this church today and head to your homes and then head to the office or to the classroom tomorrow is profound. Because we are a group of people who gather committed to the mission of Jesus and the mission of St. Andrew to be open to all. And there are many people that have not experienced that kind of openness. And we have that gift to share. And it's really all just a gift. And if you haven't heard it lately, you are a gift. Because when you come here and you sing or you stand in solidarity with those who sing, you're adding your voice to a group and reminding people that they're not singing alone. And when we say the Lord's Prayer together and we breathe at the same intervals, what will happen is our physiology will literally line up. And in unison, we will say words together, words that we pray to God about what we hope for the world, that God's kingdom is revealed, that God's will is revealed to us together, so that we might be about the work of Jesus together to share the gift. I think about how powerful it is that when we extend the peace of Christ to one another, there is a physical hand to shake or a smile to share. And that is not just your peace. It's the peace of Jesus that you extend to each other, that we take with us out into the world. There were 10 lepers who were healed of leprosy. 10 people who had an encounter with Jesus himself, and he restored them to life. But there was only one who recognized the gift. The verb was to see. He saw that he was healed. And when he saw that he was healed, he returned and he gave thanks and praise to God. Not in a subtle way, but in a loud voice. In a loud voice, he returned to God. And then falling at Jesus' feet, He thanked him personally for the healing and the life that he had just delivered. Jesus asks that soul leper where the other nine are, and the question was, where are they? Where are they? What are they recognizing? What are they seeing? It could be that they weren't there at Jesus' feet because they were following through on what he had actually said to them to go and show themselves to the priest. Or it could be that they had spent so much time on the edges that they finally had a chance to go and tell the people that they love them. We don't know why they don't return to say thank you immediately in that moment right off the bat. But we do know that the one who returned to Jesus to thank him saw his healing, recognized the gift. And so today, I would like to encourage you to see, to recognize where God is healing you, to recognize the gift and to return in some way with a thank you. And that thank you will be personal for you. It's between you and your God. That gratitude that you have for seeing the healing that has taken place in your life, where God has filled you up with bread and God has returned you to a sense of your own self and well-being. So what an opportunity we have to say thank you to God for filling that void, because we do live in a world of lack. But thanks be to God, we don't have to experience that void. During this season, fall is at its glory. And I was driving the other day on R, and the red trees and the orange trees were finally popping. And some of them even look translucent, and it is beautiful. And we know that it's only going to be that way for a really short period of time. That's just how it is. So while we have the chance to see them, I would encourage you to see and to give thanks. Because we know that soon the wind is going to blow, those leaves are going to fall to the ground and rest upon the earth and awaiting the soft covering of the S word. And I don't want to say it yet, even though it was here this weekend and it was so pretty. We know that's where we're headed. That beauty will be buried. So let's look and let's see where God's beauty is at work in the world and in you. Today's a good day for that. It's a good day to enjoy the gift of life. Today's a good day to recognize that it is seriously a beautiful thing to just be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world and to join the one who sees all that Christ has done and return in thanks. Because God has done for us what we can't do for ourselves. We're on the cross, and through suffering and dying, the wounds of Christ experienced all human plight, and it did not end there. It ended in healing and resurrection. That's where we're headed, a resurrection that we're going to soon celebrate at this table, and it is no coincidence that the liturgy is named the Great Thanksgiving. But it is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give our thanks and praise to God, where with our tongues and our eyes and our hearts and our ears we will see and taste together the goodness of God. Amen.